Hi, this is Shanda.
And Sheila.
And you're listening to LDS Women's Book Review Podcast number 33. This is the intro into the Whitney Awards podcast that, and also this LDS Storymakers podcast that Sheila did when she was there. Bits and pieces talking to different authors and potential authors and all the different people you came across at the Storymakers.
It was a great time.
And we want to start off with, before we get into all the interviews, apologizing profusely to Julie Coulter-Ballon because I accidentally clicked the track closed and lost her little interview, and I feel so horribly sick about it because she was so excited to talk to us and we were so excited to talk to her, and she told us all about what she's working on, which is another book related to one of the characters in All's Fair, which is her last book that she published. And I wish I could remember all the details, but we're going to have her on the podcast very soon so she can tell us all about it. And to make up for my accidentally clicking the wrong button, I'm sorry, it's a new computer. We had a few technical difficulties this year, actually.
It was an exciting night. There was a lot going on. So. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we just wanted to make sure to mention Julie and her new book that will be coming out. I don't know when, but she's working on it right now. And if you haven't read All's Fair, go check it out. It's a great story. And also, we want to apologize profusely again to Bron Ballman, Shirley Ballman's son. He came and talked to us. He's what?
15.
15. And he started writing this book when he was 11.
Just amazing to me.
And it's actually being published by Sweetwater Books through Cedar Fort. Right? They're connected through them.
It is.
And it's called Bone Warriors. And he actually sent Sheila a copy to review. He showed us the cover when we were there. And he talked to us about his book. But the most amazing thing about this book was that he wrote it when he was 11.
Very amazing fact.
Having an author mom was nice for him. He had a good connection because she helped him polish it and work on the things that needed to be worked on to help get it published.
Well, and once you start reading this book, you're amazed that this is basically a child that is writing this book, and you're just amazed. The words he uses, just everything about it. I'm not too far into it yet, but I will let you know.
As far as 15-year-old authors go, that's amazing.
Also come and talk to us more about how writing this novel.
This book, Bone Warriors, is, I think it would, anyone would probably enjoy it, but I believe it is centered towards an audience of young teenage boys. It's a young adult or young middle reader, whatever you call it now, fantasy.
Middle grade
fantasy.
That's not middle grade.
Middle reader.
Young adult.
Yeah. Okay. Young adult fantasy. But we were impressed. He really knocked the socks off us at the Whitney Awards when he was there. We talked to him and his mom. So we just want to put a big shout out to Bron.
And on the back of the book, it says, this is from James Dashner. It says, Bone Warriors is a great read. The imagery will make you feel like you're really there, and the adventure will make you rip through the pages. I loved it. So,
from James. High praise from James.
Yes.
So, yeah, definitely check out Bone Warriors. When does it come out? Has it already been released?
Yes,
it has been released. Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Well, anyway, we'll get into the rest of the interviews for the Whitney Awards and the LDS Storymakers.
I hope you enjoy it. Please let us know what you think about some of the interviews that took place during the conference and also at the Whitney Awards.
And we did have a few technical difficulties with the microphone and the little thing.
Yes, and I apologize for that.
But you should hopefully be able to hear. If you have any questions about anything you hear on this podcast, about any of the authors that we talk to, please shoot us off an email at LDSWBR@gmail.com, or you can reach Shanda at LDSWomensBookReview.com or Sheila at LDSWomensBookReview.com.
And we'll try to answer back.
Okay, great. Enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Sheila from LDS Women's Book Review, and I am here at the LDS Storymakers Conference. I haven't had a chance yet to interview very many people, so I need to get busy before the Whitney Awards tonight. I have another fellow participant, and your name is... you're really talking.
Okay, I just don't record this anymore.
No, that's
Christy Perkins.
Hey, and Christy was just talking to me about why she's here at the conference. Go ahead and tell us why you're here at the conference.
I am here to be a better writer.
Yeah, that's basically why I am here too, just to kind of learn the craft. Do you feel it's been useful so far?
Oh yes, very useful. I gained a lot.
But will you come again next year? Do you feel like it was worth it that you'll be here next year?
Yeah, I will, as long as I don't have babies.
I'm still in those
stages where I'm having kids. So.
Yeah, that would cause a few problems, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No, I don't blame you at all, but... Well, good.
I'm planning on it, though.
You are planning?
I'm planning on it, yeah.
book club that I might not see you next year then.
No, I'm not planning on having a baby. I'm just saying I'm
planning. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So this is my second year, so I love it. So.
Well, this is good. Thank you for talking to me.
Okay.
Okay. Here I am again, and I'm in the bookstore, and I'm talking to Luann Staley, and this is Sheila Staley talking to Luann Staley.
But, you know, we're not related because our names are spelled different and all that kind of stuff, but it still is kind of fun to meet another Staley person.
You know, I was thinking the same thing. I think I'd have a harder time spelling your name than how I spell mine.
Well, that could be true. I had trouble learning it myself at first.
So, how was it yesterday for you with having your book signing?
It was fun. It was the first official book signing for When Hearts Could Join, and so it was a lot of fun and got to meet a lot of really wonderful people and see some people that I've known for years and some that I haven't seen for a long, long time and met brand new people. So it was cool.
I'm excited to know that I was in line with those people for your first book signing for the book.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Hey, I had a question. Now, how many books have you written altogether?
Well, I've actually written several other books. I was published before in an invitational chapter for an education book because I'm a teacher as well as a writer. And so I've had that, and then I've written several young adult novels, and I've written some screenplays, and had two screenplays optioned. So I'm busy in lots of things, and people in Utah would know of this event that I used to write the script for Stadium of Fire. It's a great big production that Alan Osborne Productions did every year at BYU for the July 4th celebration. And so I've had things produced, but this is the first full-length book that's actually been published with my name on the front cover, so that's kind of fun.
Well, it's really fun because I'm staying over with my parents this weekend, and so I took all my books home, and my mom looked at that, and I think she's going to be reading it today.
Well, very good. I hope she enjoys it. I've heard people have really felt a lot of empathy for the mother, for Erin Herron, and just, you know, then people want to know as a follow-up, how are the girls doing? So... Mm-hmm. It's good for them to find out how the story is progressive.
Now, you were just telling me a minute ago that about your writers group, and you have some very wonderful people in your writers group. You want to tell us who is in your writers group?
Sure. In my group, we have Annette Lyon and Heather Moore, who's H.B. Moore.
Yes.
And J. Scott Savage, who also writes as Jeff Savage, and Michelle Page Holmes, and Robinson Wells, and me. And I hope I got everybody.
I wish I could write with that group, because those are all absolutely wonderful people. You're in with a very good group.
I am, and they are. They're lots of fun. They're really good friends of mine. I also appreciate the fact that, you know, and we all have noticed this, that we all have our particular strengths. And so if somebody is not there one particular night, we can really tell that, we're missing this, you know, because Annette, the grammar guru, will always get the little ticky, you know, grammar things that need to be taken care of. And Jeff always sees the big picture.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, everybody has their own strength. And so it's really awesome to work together.
Okay, so for aspiring writers, you would tell them to get into a writing group?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the first thing to do is, you know, absolutely, the first thing to do is get something on the paper. But then find a writing group and know that where you start with your group may not be the group for you, but it gets you going. You want to find other people who are well-read, who really want to publish and not just sit down and write something for fun. They need to be dedicated. And if you're dedicated too, then you'll find yourself being successful.
That is great advice. Thank you so much. And I hope that you'll stop by our table tonight to talk to the rest of LDS Women's Book Review. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, I'm talking to James Dashner.
Oh. Hi, how's it going?
It's going really good. I'm kind of doing this in the capacity of LDS Women's Book Review. I was given the assignment to talk to a few people during the Writers' Conference. So what do you think of the Writers' Conference this year?
Well, I am just blown away every year. It gets better every year. We had 100 more people this year than last year. So it's awesome.
So what was the total number of people that had signed up for the conference?
I think it was 260, 270.
Wow, that is a lot of people.
Yeah, that's big for any writer's conference. That's really good. So.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about before I let you run off and buy some books here. You have a huge book that is coming out this year, even though the book that just came out is huge also, The Hunt for Dark Infinity, right? Is that correct? But The Maze Runner. Do you want to tell our listeners just a little bit about The Maze Runner?
Sure, yeah. It's a Random House book. It's coming out October 6th. It's for older teens, a little bit different from my other audience. But it's kind of a future dystopian, creepy, scary story. They call it Lord of the Flies meets The Hunger Games. So we're really excited about it.
I think that is so exciting. And so what kind of publicity do you, have they told you ahead of time what's going to be happening?
Oh, yeah. They're doing a lot. They've said it's their number one lead title this fall. So they're sending me on a pre-publicity tour in May to cities across the country. And then doing all kinds of promotional things. www.themajorama.com is going to launch. And then, of course, when it comes out, a nationwide tour. So.
That'll be exciting. I'm going to be one of your biggest fans. I already know. Well, I already am a big fan of yours, but I know that I'm going to really like this book. Maybe I should put it that way.
Well, hey, thank you. Thank you. I'm pumped for it to come out.
Well, we're excited, too. Thank you, James.
Thanks. See ya.
Okay, here I am again with another author. It's so exciting. And this author happens to be a friend of mine. This is Jerry Gilchrist.
Hi, everybody.
Do you want to tell all of our listeners how you know me originally?
Actually, Sheila and I were in the same singles ward originally, and then it turned out that she was my oldest son's first grade teacher. She taught him how to write, but I think he forgot half the lessons if you've ever seen his writing.
Well, maybe he's a good creative writer, right?
There we go. Yeah, we'll call it that.
Well, tell us about your latest book that just came out.
It's Shadow of the Crown, and it takes place in Denmark. It's about a girl who actually goes back there for a job acquisition with a company that she's working at. And she goes back there for a training session in this job acquisition. But actually, she wants to go back there because she has a grandmother living there that she's really never had the chance to get to know. However, she's a little bit leery to go back there because her grandfather had kind of dirtied the family name during World War II. And so she wants to basically go back to kind of get her grandmother out of there and get her away from all the rumors and all the dirtiness that her grandfather had caused.
Okay, so what helped you come up with this idea for this book? Because, I mean, this is a pretty detailed book, and I'm just kind of wondering how you pulled all this together.
You know, my mom found out that she had cancer, and we found out that it was too late by the time they found the cancer, and she was dying. And so I started to record my mom's history, and my mom is from Denmark. And so we were trying to talk about her growing up during the time of the war. She was a little girl, but she had a lot of memories of growing up during the occupation of Denmark during World War II. And so some of the stories kind of came from her life history. Now, the book is actually fictional, so I kind of took those stories and twisted them, turned them to fit into the book. But the original idea actually came from recording my mom's history.
Hey, Jerry, that just gave me chills all over. Yeah. I mean, it's like, ooh. Okay, so where can our listeners go to find out more about your books?
It's sold in all the LDS bookstores like Deseret Books, Siegel Book and Tape. It's published by Covenant. And, you know, there's a lot of World War II history about the occupation. There's a lot of about the war. It's not a political book at all. It's actually just all about the what the family went through with her grandfather. Did he actually cause, you know, was he a traitor to the crown? It's more that kind of a story that she tries to go back, and none of the things really add up. She wants to find out whether her grandfather really did what he was, did he betray crown and country, or because he actually was part of the king's royal guard when he betrayed the country. So she wants to go find out what actually happened and then get her grandmother out of there, have her come to America. So there's a lot of history of World War II in it. But anyway, yeah, so Siegel.
Okay. And would you give us your website? I know you have your, I've gone there and visited, but we wanted to let everybody know.
Okay, www.jerrygilchrist.com.
Hey, I like those. Those are easy to remember. Well, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate you talking to me today.
Sheila, it's so good to see you again. Aww. Thanks for this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Okay, here I am with my fifth interview this morning, and I am talking to Stephanie Black, and she is the author of one of our favorite books, which is The Believer, but she has a book nominated this year in two different categories, which is Fooling Twice. How did you feel about this honor once you found out?
I was just absolutely thrilled. It's one of those moments that just makes all the work of writing worth it to have the book nominated, so I'm really excited about it.
Well, we were very excited for you because we, as LDS Women's Book Review, are one of your big fans. I hope you realize that we were very thrilled for you. Now, where are you heading next as far as your writing? Have you started something? Is something ready to be published? What's going on?
I have another contemporary suspense mystery that's coming out in August. It's called Methods of Madness, And it's just another same kind of thing as Clue Me Twice. And then I'm at work on another contemporary suspense, which is untitled as yet, just on a rough draft of that.
That is good. Now, I know you're really good at this area. Is there any other area or genre that you would like to go into but you haven't really attempted yet?
You know, I'd love to do more of the futuristic, like I did with The Believer. I would love to get a sequel to that out and try something else in that genre. Sometimes I think about trying YA at some point. Might be fun. Haven't tried that yet, so maybe in the future sometime.
I think that would be so great because you are such a good writer. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, we talked about this yesterday. I really want The Believer number 2. Whatever the title would be, I don't know what your title, if you even have a working title.
I just had a working title was The Witnesses. But if they eventually publish it, I don't know what it would be.
Well, I'm hoping. I don't know. Maybe we can send this podcast to the people that would make a difference. And know that there are people out there that really want this sequel to The Believer to come out. But now, I know you like being here at the Writers' Conference. What do you think is the best part about a Writers' Conference?
You know, for me, the most exciting part has been just meeting people. So many people that I've met online, meeting other writers. It's just so exciting to put names to faces, or faces to names, rather.
Right.
And that's been the funnest part for me. I think one of the greatest parts of being in the LDS writing community is just meeting the people there. It's such a great supportive community.
So do you feel like this is worthwhile? Because the thing I really want to do with me being here is to really get the message out that the Storymakers Conference is something that if you really want to be a writer, you should be here. Do you agree? Do you have something else to add?
I think that's absolutely, this is an excellent resource for people who are wanting to write, no matter at what level you're at. If you're multiple published, or just starting out, there's things to benefit you here, both in the networking and association and in the classes. There's just excellent information, opportunities to make contacts. It's just a great resource for writers.
Well, it really is. And what you said about for beginning writers or for seasoned writers, because I went to all the classes for beginners yesterday and today. You probably went to the more seasoned writer
classes.
You know,
I think we were in a lot of the same classes, actually.
I mean, there were such good things there. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about something that may be going on with you at your website or any way that you're fans can get in touch with you?
There is contact information on my website. I also blog every Wednesday at 6 LDS Writers and a Frog. That's just 6LDSWriters.net. And I always love to hear from fans, love to hear from other writers, readers. And so anytime you want to have a question for me or anything, please contact me.
Well, great. We will. And I know I love that blog, by the way. You guys are so great. So thank you so much, Stephanie.
Thank you, Sheila.
Hey, I am talking to someone else here, another fellow attendee at the Writers' Conference, and her name is Allie Cross. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do with books and writing?
Well, I'm a fledgling writer. I write young adult fantasy primarily, and I've won a couple times here, so I'm excited, but not published yet.
Hey, now you were just telling me earlier that you have submitted some different manuscripts, and what happened with that?
Yeah, well, last year I met with Lisa Mangum from Deseret Book, and I won at that time for The Devil's Daughter, and they really liked it, and they asked for the whole book, and they liked it again, and it went through their readers and went through the committee, and I got rejected.
Okay, so where are you going to go from here as a writer? I mean, because I haven't gone through this process yet, but what do you do now?
Now I need to get my fanny in gear and get to work submitting. I need to find a home for it. At first I was super excited even with the rejection because I understood that the rejection was a kind one, like it was a positive response, it just didn't fit their market, you know. So I was at first really excited and motivated to just submit this baby like crazy, and then fear overtook me. Because it is, I find, really intimidating to research editors and research agents, and that stuck me a little, but I'm trying to overcome that.
So, I mean, how do you keep up your enthusiasm to keep, you know, submitting things? This part of the whole process worries me a lot, too, so I can understand, you know, how you're feeling about this. But how do you get the motivation to keep moving along?
For me, it is a support group. Other writers who either are published or are like me, who all believe in me and help keep me going when I don't believe in myself. Because when you have those long walls, it's really easy to start thinking, I stink at this, and so what am I even doing here? And that's when you go to your critique group meeting or you talk to your friends online and they say, don't give up. And they say that thing that you hear time and again at these conferences, that you continue to submit and continue to put your work out there, you will have success.
That's good advice. I mean, I know just where I'm at as a writer, that's wonderful advice. Now, if people want to contact you, I know you mentioned a blog. Do you want to give us your blog address?
Sure. It's AliCross, AliCross, at blogspot.com.
Great. I will be checking that out. Then you can check out my blogs too.
Absolutely.
So.
Hey, thanks. It's a your scratch, my back, I'll scratch yours.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks so much, Sheila.
Thank you, Ali.
Have a good day.
Okay, here I am at a really good table here. I'm meeting a bunch of people that have books out and are submitting books. Do you want to tell our listeners? Hang on just a second. There we go. Would you like to tell our listeners your name and tell us a little bit about your book?
Yes. My name is Sherry Johnson. My book is called Surviving the Detour of Divorce by Recognizing Miracles in Motion. My book is about finding hope after divorce, during or after divorce, through the atonement of our Savior.
Oh my gosh.
And my book is about reclaiming the desire to see miracles in your life when you can barely find the desire to get out of bed. And one day after going to the temple, I was studying the word miracle, and I figured, well, it wasn't me. Heavenly Father helped me figure out that if you rearrange the letters in the word miracle, you spell the word reclaim.
Oh my word, I'm starting to cry.
And these two powerful words are woven together with the same golden thread of hope. If you want to see miracles in your life, you have to somehow find the desire to reclaim them. And my book is about finding hope. It's about reclaiming that desire to see miracles. And it helps men and women realize that miracles are not contingent upon marital status. They're contingent upon faith and trust in the Savior. And my book has car and road metaphors woven through it so that it will appeal to men and women. And so that it will make it more memorable, more easy to relate to. For example, chapter one is called The Head on Religion. And the first part of my book has many different stories from men and women who've been divorced and the miracles that they were eventually able to find in their lives.
You know, this really would be good because as I'm going through this, I'm hoping that maybe I will get a few books. That would be so good. Thank you. Hey, I've got another new author, and I was so excited to meet her just because I'd seen her book at the bookstore last time. Do you want to tell us your name?
I'm Becca Wilhite.
See, I was wondering how you pronounced your last name. And tell us about your new book. The cover is fantastic, and I also want to know about the cover, but tell us about your book.
Okay, it's called Happy Miracle, and it's a young adult fiction. I was thinking, what's the word that means it's not fantasy? It's not a fantasy.
There you
it's
go.
A realistic fiction. It's a family story, and it's the story of a blended family and what it feels like to get a twin stepsister. Can we get
to it? Yeah, tell us about the cover. Go ahead, tell us about the cover.
They gave me the greatest cover. Shadow Mountain published it. It came out in February, and the cover has on it a set of feet with the cutest blue toenails you've ever seen. And there's a scene in the story where one of the girls goes, well, we're both of the girls go to get a pedicure. And one of them gets blue on her toenails, and so the publishers picked that up and ran with it, and they've made it a really cute cover. It's very girly and very obvious, and people remember it, so that's really fun.
They really do. I mean, because that's what when you put it down on the table, this book, it was like, oh, I've seen that book. Is this your first book, then, that you have published?
It's my first book that's been commercially published. Several years ago, my husband and I tried to start a company, and we didn't know that we couldn't do that. But now we know. So, yeah, Shadow Mountain picked this one up, and it's kind of my debut national market audience book.
You are very lucky to have Shadow Mountain pick up your book. How did you go about having this happen for you?
I am very lucky because I'm a slush pile success story. I sent in the manuscript, and the fabulous Lisa Mangum read it and loved it and walked it over to the acquisitions director and put it on his desk and said, we must buy this book. And he put a lot of faith in her decision, and he eventually read it and said, okay, we will. But it's been great because they are so supportive and so fabulous there. And it's really good to feel like you have some fans at your publishing company.
Definitely. I mean, so have they optioned you for another book? Are you doing something else currently writing it?
I have a few things in the works all the time. I actually turned in a manuscript in January to them. So we're waiting market-wise. economy-wise, and things are just taking a hit in publishing companies all over the country. And so they're just kind of going to hold on and see how things look, and hopefully they'll pick it up because it's a great romantic comedy that they've got coming, that they have sitting on their desk waiting, you know, for the economy to turn. So let's all go buy some books.
Yeah, I buy plenty. I don't know why I'm not supporting everyone. Okay, so you said it's a romantic comedy. Are we talking about, is it youth fiction, so young adult?
Yeah, it is. It's young adult fiction again. It's just fun and happy, and, you know, enough things go wrong that you laugh a lot. And it's funny. It's fun to write like life for me, because I think life is just really funny. And so I just like to find the funny things about life, and, you know, sometimes it's not funny in the moment, and then you look up later and realize it really was funny, because this Bright Blue Miracle is a really fun story about blending a family, but I lived through that when I was 16, and it wasn't funny. But I look back on it now, and it's really funny. And actually, when my dad remarried, my stepmom has a daughter that's my same age with my same name.
Whoa.
And so that was, I mean, at the time, it was horrible, but now it's wonderful, and we're just so close, and we're best friends. So it's a lot of fun. You know, sometimes you just need to step back out of your own life, and then you look at it and realize that life is totally hilarious.
Well, it's amazing that you were able to write this book, and it's based so much on your life. Is this your dream book, or is there another book that's out there that you someday hope to write, and which will be your dream book?
I think any book that makes a kid smile and laugh and feel good about herself is a dream book. And so I think any kid who picks this book up and thinks, even if they're not anything to do with a blended family, who thinks, I'm good enough, I'm okay, you know, I think that is fulfilling my dream, for any kid, any girl, to feel like life is okay, and things are hard, but I'm going to be fine because I'm strong, and that can be great. So that's an element that I try to put in my books, that somebody has to come to be okay with herself. Because I think that we all struggle with it, even, you know, into our adulthood, we struggle sometimes, saying, am I okay or am I not okay? And according to who, you know? And if it's going to be according to me, then I'm going to choose to be okay.
You are so cute and fun. So, yeah, you know, when your next book comes out, I think I would love to have you come on the podcast, or even maybe we can arrange it for you to come talk about this book that just came out.
That'd be great.
Because you are just the type of person that we love to have come on and have a good conversation with. And that's basically all we're doing, is just, you know, trying to get the message out that there's such good books out there. And it seems like yours is just one of those really good books that hopefully people will pick up and realize that it has such a good message and a good story.
Thank you. I sure appreciate it. I'd love to come and visit with you anytime.
Okay. Well, you've got my card, so we'll be able to stay in touch and everything. So thank you so much, Bethel. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, we're here with Gail Sears, author of Upon the Mountains. This is the last book I remember you writing, but I think you've written since then. Have you written a book that's been published since then?
Upon the Mountains is actually the third book in a series.
Right.
So the first book, it was the one nominated last year for the Whitneys,
mm-hmm. yep.
and
yep.
Best Historical Fiction. But prior to that, there's Autumn Sky. That's the first book in
that's
the series.
That's right.
And then Until the Dawn is the second book in the series, and then Upon the Mountains was the final book. So
okay, I think I have read Until the Dawn. I don't, you know what?
You can read them as standalone, but they're more impactful.
But they are together.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great.
Yeah. And I did a little Christmas book.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Doll at Christmas. Christmas for a Dollar. I've been wanting.
Did really well.
We talked about that one in our Christmas one. I really wanted to read it.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to yet.
But
I thought that this, you know, the father giving the children a dollar and change, and that's what they can get
and actually
for Christmas.
It's based on a true story.
Right, I read that, and that's why
my
it
dad
interests
and
me.
His siblings when they
oh,
were.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's that close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Christmas in 1931. So, yeah, it's very
Depression
heartfelt
Christmas.
To me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually have one of the gifts that was made during that Christmas. My
really?
Auntie sent it to me.
Wow.
So. Yeah, so if you read the book, I won't give it away, but
okay.
It's pretty, it's a tearjerker.
Sure
really?
Have your Kleenex ready.
Okay, I love it. But,
yeah.
You know, when you get a Christmas time, you're sentimental anyway. And
yeah.
Yeah, I was really, when I saw that in the catalog, I was really excited to read it, so.
Well, and actually, they loved it. My publisher loved it so much that they're making a children's picture book out of it for next
really?
Christmas.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, Ben Soward, I guess, is doing the illustrations.
Really? Okay, mm-hmm. Ben Soward. We'll watch
for that.
Did you talk to Sheila earlier? Did she grab you? Okay,
no.
Because she was here at the conference. Did you like the conference this year?
I did. I thought it was impressive. I thought the conference was wonderful.
I just need to sign up for next year.
Maybe we should all, three of us, do some. Because we all want to write. We're just not, we're in different stages of our lives where we're not ready to
Did well, I didn't yet. Start writing until I was 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
My background is theater. I have a master's degree in theater arts. And
well, are you going to be here for the gala later?
Yes.
Okay, then you'll have to forgive us.
Why?
Because we're doing a little skit.
Oh, you're
our
fine.
Our skit
the funnier
is a little
the
bit
better. I love it.
It's a little cheesy.
It's cheesy.
It's okay. Yeah, I like cheesy. High school drama class, but, you know.
Yeah, there'll be no critiques for me. So.
Okay, good.
but the book that I just finished, my next historical novel, because that's the genre I really like, it's set in 1917 Russia during the Bolshevik Revolution.
Really? See, that era interests me. I haven't read a lot
and
about
I
it.
I love the Bolshevik Revolution.
Oh, it's so amazing.
Oh, I will read it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and I found an LDS family, the first LDS family in Russia.
That's right. That wait, how did I know this?
Lindelof's
where did I read this at? It seems like I read this before. Do you have a blog or something?
I might have. I do have a blog. Yeah.
Okay. I think I might have read it on your blog or something because that sounds familiar.
Or on my webpage. I've put my Russian research into my webpage.
Oh, tell everybody your website.
www.galesears, GALESEARS.com.
Okay. I'm totally going to look that up. So. Me too. I must have looked at it at some point because it sounds so familiar to me. Yeah. I'm very interested. I hadn't read the previous two books. I just read Upon the Mountains, and I really liked that book. So
oh,
it was
you.
Really good.
Thank you.
Really good. And I can tell that you love history. Just
I love
from your
history.
Writing,
so. Yeah. The only trouble, I could have been a history professor, but I don't like dates. So that was a problem. I like
errors.
The stories, but yeah.
Well, the stories are what makes it interesting, you know?
Yeah.
Who cares about when, like, exactly it happened? You just want to know what happened. So.
Yeah.
I'll amen that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Sounds good to me.
And then I actually have a book coming out done by Leatherwood Press.
Okay.
It's coming out probably the first part of June. It's just a little book called The Route, and it's based on my experiences delivering Meals on Wheels to people.
Really?
And their wonderful stories and their lives, and that's amazing.
You just know how to write for women.
Oh,
that just sounds so interesting to me. Well, at least for us sentimental women. Anyway.
We're a little on the sentimental side.
I know, me too.
We're okay with that.
Well, it's kind of got comedy in it too, because some of those people are characters.
That sounds like a fun book.
That sounds like a fun job.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
sure
there was
a
couple
moments,
of years
though.
Until my mom got sick, but it was an amazing time. So,
wow. Yeah. Those all sound wonderful.
Thanks
for taking a minute to update us on what you're
thank
up to.
Thank you guys for what you do. You're
no problem.
Very good source for us as
well,
writers.
Well, we love it. If we can do anything to help promote good LDS fiction, we'll do it.
Woohoo!
So, yeah. Well, thanks so much for taking the time,
all right.
Bill.
You are so welcome.
We'll see you later tonight.
Bye.
We're here with Shirley Bauman and Carlene Browning. They are two names that I'm familiar with. Shirley Bauman writes the Miracle series of her books all have to do with miracles. And Carlene Browning has a blog, I've been told, that's why I know her. But I know I've seen your name mentioned in books and acknowledgments.
Well, I used to be a publisher.
Okay, used to be a publisher.
I
that's
owned
why
I publishing I've... company, Rose Haven Publishing, for about 6 years. And then when Deseret Books started to scale back, we were one of the first victims of that. But no, that's okay.
Okay, well, that's how I know your name then, because I've read it in the acknowledgments.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what is your last book that you just released? I know it was just maybe in the last 6 months you had one come out.
Pioneers, A Course in Miracles was my most recent book, came out last year.
Okay.
And it's the seventh book in my series of True Pioneer Stories. The other titles have odd in them, but the publisher said people are mixing them up. They don't know which one is Against All Odds. Isn't that odd?
Oh.
Even Love is Odd. Unseen Odds. And they're going, no, which odd book do I have? A really funny story if you want to hear it.
Yeah, go ahead.
One guy at a book signing said, you have odd in all of your titles. Maybe you need to go to counseling. And he wasn't even kidding.
Really?
I said, oh, yeah, I'm odd. I'll vouch for that.
It was a little, he kind of missed the point of that, apparently. That's funny, though. I love that. I bet you have all sorts of funny stories about signings.
Oh, yes. Yes, and some miraculous things happened at signings, too.
Really?
Yes.
Now, I read a couple of your books. I can't remember exactly which one because it was a couple years ago, but I did enjoy it. I wish I could tell you which one it was, but I've read like 100 books since then, so I'd have to go back and look at my records. It is, I think so.
Excellent addiction, I say. Stick with that.
And the fact that we get to podcast is even better.
It doesn't get any better than that.
So do you miss publishing, Carlene?
I really do. I really do. If I could figure out how to do it without investing money into it, I would be back there in a heartbeat. And I am working on a couple of plans. So, you know, future writers, check the Rose Haven blog every once in a while and look for something new.
Okay, why don't you give us the address to your blog?
My personal blog is inksplasher.blogspot.com, and of course I'll be making announcements there. And then the Rosehaven is rosehavenpublishing.com, and right now it's just an empty space, but you know, I've got
check
some
back.
Ideas, so check
maybe.
Back, yes.
Okay.
And in the meantime, I am assistant manager at Provident Book, which is a new LDS bookstore in Pleasant Grove. We opened up
that's the one that Jenny opened, like she announced that on the LDS readers group a couple months back.
Yeah, we had a big grand opening. Mm-hmm. She was one of the authors that come, and we love to have authors come and do signings. So
okay.
Make sure you contact me either through my blog, or that's probably the easiest way is go to my blog, inksplasher.blogspot.com, and
okay.
Click on the email me button and
great
and tell me you want to do a book signing, and we'd love to have you come in.
Well, I know we have several authors that listen to the podcast, so that's good to know.
Great.
And do you have a website or a blog?
I do. It's shirleyballman.com, and if you can spell Ballman, I'll give you a free book.
I know how to spell it.
Oh, Carlene, go for it.
Of course, I'm looking right at your tag, but I knew how to spell it before I saw the tag.
Yeah, a lot of people get scared when they see the H in there. Mm-hmm. It's Shirley. That's just spelled like Shirley Temple. And Ballman is Bahlman. That's two N's on the end. It's straight from Holland, and that's the way they do it over there.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
I've never been to Holland. I don't really know many people from Holland. So they put two N's at the end of the names?
They
often?
Do. Yeah, my husband's parents actually immigrated after World War II.
Oh, wow.
From
Holland. Oh, really? I bet there's a story there, too.
I was just going to say.
You are so right, and I have actually been percolating a couple of things I want to write about that.
You'll have to keep us updated.
Okay.
We would love to be posted.
Because and if anyone, you know, if you're ever looking for someone to send an ARC to or updates to, you can always just email us. You've got our card, right? There's one.
Card.
There's your card.
I'm a big fan of
ARCs. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
And
me, too. I do book reviews on my blog.
Let me have
oh, really?
Card.
That's good to know, too. I love to read book reviews from other reviewers. Because
okay.
We just do this for fun. We're not professional or anything.
By any stretch.
Oh, you look totally professional.
Well, we try.
You do.
Well, you know, we try to keep it as professional as we can without losing any of the fun or revealing that we're really not professionals. So.
Oh, come on.
But we'll be honest.
Fun is what the world is all about.
Exactly.
What's life without fun?
And it's just great to be able to come to places like this and be able to talk to authors and publishers and people who are in love with the book world, excuse me, like we are. So, and Sheila's
absolutely.
Around here somewhere, but.
She's making the rounds.
Were you here at the conference, both of you, for the whole?
Yes.
Okay, so did
yes.
you run into Sheila at all? We had, there's three of us. No, I'm Shanna, this is Hillary.
I saw her. I saw her in the hallways and
yeah,
walking back and forth.
If she's also one of the reviewers with us, and she has her own blog also, which I think she follows your blog, Carlene.
Wonderful.
She?
I love followers.
Yeah, it's because I said so. Or why not because I said so at blog,
oh, yes,
blogspot.com.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, so she does other reviews also on hers that are independent from the podcast sometimes. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it was great to talk to you guys. I'm glad you had a good time at the conference. Wow. I can't wait to come for my own self. Couldn't come. I have a 3.5-month-old, so I couldn't be away from her. So.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
What a sweetie.
Yeah, and I just couldn't, you know, as difficult when you're the food source. So
sometimes it's
maybe next year.
A 9-year-old. I have him here with me, but oh my goodness, he's grabbing
yeah, he's been taking pictures.
Pictures when I needed him to. Such a good helper. May I leave you with my philosophy?
Yes.
Please.
Work is play when you love what you do.
Absolutely. Well, I have to agree.
I agree.
And I wish everyone would have a job that they enjoy doing something they love.
Me too. And I wish we could get paid for
I'm working on it.
Doing that.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll work on it. We just do this for fun, so it's worth every minute.
It is, absolutely.
Well, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time. I appreciate
Thank you.
It. Thanks
we
for
appreciate
having
it.
Us.
Thank you.
Okay, see ya.
Okay, here we go, talking to another author who's had fabulous success with The Sound of Letters. It's Stacy Gooch Anderson, correct?
It is.
And she has a great new book out that I am so excited about that I bought here at the Storymakers Conference. And we'd like to tell our listeners a little bit about what the book is, the new book.
It is called, it never actually was supposed to be a book. It actually started out, it's called Life is Tough, I Doubt I'll Make It Out Alive.
Which is very clever.
And, well, thank
very
you very much.
It catches your attention.
Mm-hmm. The way it started out is my father was diagnosed with cancer.
Aww.
And he was such a busy man. He hated not being valuable, you know, and being able. So I started writing these. He taught us to live well, and laugh often.
I love that.
So, so I would capture these humorous family stories and all these life's lessons, and I would take them up and have him read them, and I would have him edit them. And he would laugh through these chemo treatments, and he'd start taking them, reading them to the doctors and to all the other patients, and they would laugh
that.
Until they were crying. And the doctors finally said, you've got to stop bringing these because our patients are going to bust their stitches.
So it's making them
at
happy.
That this point, I know. So at that point, so before my father passed away, he said, you have got to put this in a book. You've got to seek publication. And I thought, yeah, right. Why? And he said, because people have forgotten how to laugh. And he said,
amen.
As time gets
I
tougher,
agree.
He goes, people need to remember how to laugh. So it's not all about laughter. There are still some sad moments in there. But the difference is you have a choice. You can laugh. There's days when you have to cry. But you can know when to laugh, when to cry, and make that choice to get back to a point where you can laugh again. And
you
that's
know what?
What
I'm about.
He sounds like an
that
admirable
is wonderful.
Man.
So he was wonderful.
So did you? You did when you, in the foreword you dedicated this to your father, correct?
Yes.
I didn't look at the foreword. I didn't have a chance to read all the books that
actually,
I bought.
Actually, I dedicated it to my mom and my dad because my mom, Life is Tough came out on the five-year anniversary of my dad's death. And my mom died 1 year ago next Wednesday.
So it was
dedicated to both of them because they died young of cancer.
Both of them?
Both of them. So
I am so sorry. That is so hard. But what a wonderful, loving tribute, because this book just looks so wonderful. I picked it up and I just kind of read the back and I went, this is what I need right now in my life, because my life has been tough this past year and I needed to know that
that's the title, because my dad used to say, you know, life is tough. He goes, I doubt I'll make it out alive, you know, so I had to take that and use that as the title. So,
you know, I think it's an excellent title. But what I'm interested in, your next book, what are you doing? Are you doing a novel?
Oh,
are we doing nonfiction?
Well,
what are we doing?
Actually, I have another book coming out for Christmas. They just wanted anything I could do that would be Christmas. And so I've got another one coming out for Christmas. Santa Letters will be back this Christmas.
Oh, it should. It was probably the best-selling Christmas book, wasn't it?
It was a wonderful book. It did really well. I went nationwide with that one. I did TV in California.
Not surprised at all.
And
not surprised.
Nope,
not
Georgia,
either.
And I actually ended up on the Lars Larson Show, which
really?
Was national.
That
national
is awesome.
Broadcast. I did radio all over the nation. And then I still was doing, I had people wanting to do interviews clear until February. So.
But you know what? It made such an impact. I'm sure that's why it was.
So,
because
it was
everywhere
book.
I went, every blog that I went to, I even blogged about it with all my Christmas picks. I mean, it was just like everyone wanted to talk about it. And I think it had an important enough message.
It was timely because it was about a family who was struggling emotionally and financially. And people needed to get back to those basics of Christmas and know that they could do it without
okay.
a lot of money.
Right.
And they could still celebrate the season and come out with a wonderful Christmas.
It almost like gave them permission to be able to do it. That's kind of the way when I was reading it, it's like so many people are worried that their kids won't think they're having a real Christmas, but it's like, that's what that story did.
So no, it was certainly an eye-opener for me into what I need to do with my children to appreciate the season more presents.
It was about bringing Christ back into Christmas. And it was, I got writer's cramp really bad after that one, because as I did this national tour, I decided every book I'd sign, I would put, may the true spirit of Christ, in parentheses, must fill your heart always. And because I wouldn't just write my name, because it really wasn't about me. I wanted his name to be first and foremost.
Very good. So very nice.
But you asked what I was doing now.
Yes.
It's the companion book to the Santa Letters, which picks up with Guillermo's story, and it's called The Inmate Letters. So talk about it.
Oh, really?
Talk about a difference. That, and I'm doing another one. It's kind of a spoof on Survivor.
Really?
But
okay, I'm going to love that.
It's a spoof on Survivor, but the main character, something happens, he has a change of heart, and he decides he's going to buck the system. And he goes and decides to get the entire cast, instead of getting everybody kicked off, they decide they're going to make it to the end together. or they're not going to do it at all.
I like
and
that.
Always the producers and everything for a loop. So they all
that sounds fun.
So they do a new kind of allegiance or alliance, mm-hmm. and they decide if they don't make it together. They're not going to
vote anybody off.
They won't vote. They decide not to vote anybody
off.
That's
great. See, I wish they would have
done
that.
So a good version. So they go to council and they don't vote anybody off. And they do it on live TV, and it really throws the producers and everything
amazing.
Into it.
That would be so fun.
I'm in. I'll read it.
Yep. But anyway, so that's been a really fun one.
Do you have a date on that one, possibly?
I don't. I'm just finishing up that one. But
I want to read that one.
but I've got a couple of agents, national agents, that are really interested in that one.
Well, will you keep us updated?
I will.
Take one of our cards and keep us updated on stuff.
I try to keep
my front page with news, little news tidbits updated, too. I try.
Could you come talk to us when it releases?
I will.
Yeah, we'd love to have you on the podcast for longer than 5 minutes.
I think they want me to do inmate letters first. Okay. Just trying. I'm the way I go. I just kind of. I'm ADD, so I just work on it all. So if it releases 1 month and another, then so be it. But anyways, yeah, that one's been fun because it is different. Because in our society, we have a tendency to want to one up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about what we're all about, the best that we can do is do it all together. Mm-hmm. If everybody wins, we all win.
You don't do that in your families with getting to the celestial kingdom.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, I'll get there before you. No. I mean, we're not supposed to anyway.
And that's exactly what
go.
I did.
But you want everyone to get there.
I was thinking about the celestial kingdom. I was thinking, what does that mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, it means that I have my family, my friends, everybody I love, and the more that are there, the bigger the party. And that is happiness.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if someone threw a loop on one of these mm-hmm. reality shows?
That would be awesome.
That sounds like
and
so
took
much
it a different
fun.
Direction.
Yep. Well, so, when you get, what a great idea.
When you have your next, whenever you have a book come out, if we can get on your ARC list
so
or
that,
whatever, we'd love
that
to.
That would be great. That would be great. So I've tentatively gotten that one called The Isle of Outcasts.
Oh, so, I like that.
Anyways, yeah, we'll
that
see.
Sounds
we'll
like
see.
A fun
so do you
book.
Have a website or something where people
I do.
Can check it out?
I've got my blog, which is Staying Alive with Stacy.
Oh, cute.
And then I've got my website, stacygandersen.com, and then the Santa Letters website, thesantaletters.org.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Great.
So, where people can go and download all those letters free of charge if they ever want to do it
very
themselves.
Cool.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I'll be there.
No kidding.
I'm going to be visiting there. Yeah, so. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to talk
yes,
to us, Stacy.
You.
We were hoping
thank
we would
you.
Get to grab
this
you.
This was way cool.
You were on our list of people to grab, so.
We're
yeah, well, thanks for
you.
Taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hello, and we're back with Bron Ballman. We were just talking to his mom, Shirley, a few minutes ago, and he's telling us that he's actually got a book that's coming out that Cedar Fort is publishing, and to be sitting in front of him, how old are you?
I'm 15 years old.
15.
And already having a book
and
published.
And a book published. That's incredible. So tell us about the book.
It's a young adult fantasy novel that I wrote when I was 11 years old.
11.
And I finished it by the time I got to 7th grade. Then my mom helped me a whole lot with the submitting it to the publishers. And it took.
It's nice to have connections.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. And it took about a year for the first publishers we sent it to say no. And they said that at the time they had enough young adult, but they would really like to do it later on. So
oh, wow.
I went ahead and submitted to Cedar Fort to see if they would accept it earlier. So that I could get it out while I was still at a young age. And they took about another year, and then they said yes. So it's coming out this May, the second or third week.
And it's called Bone Warriors?
Yes.
Okay. And what is the
What's
basis
the story?
Of the story?
Yeah. It's about two boys who have to decide to go and look for their parents and all their friends who have been kidnapped by a man who collects skeletons.
Wow!
On the way,
is it a thriller then?
No, it's a fantasy novel.
Fantasy,
right? But
okay.
is it have some suspense? A little bit of keep you up till 3 a.m. kind of a feel to it.
I don't
know. You
know,
you hope so.
Yeah, and on the way they meet some really unlikely allies who help them find their way to the necromancer's palace. And
wow!
Well, you sound like you're a gentleman who's done a lot of reading himself. Have you done a lot of reading?
I don't do a whole lot of reading, really. I do a lot of stuff with my friends, like just making things up.
Oh, really?
And
good imagination, then.
Yeah, and a lot of artwork, but I don't really do too much reading.
Well, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes of your time to tell us about your book, Bone Warriors. It looks really interesting. Look at that. Is that what cover? Is that the cover?
No. The cover is... Well, I don't...
You don't know?
has it not really come out yet,
the cover? Not really.
Okay. Well, we'll watch for it in May from Cedar Fort, right? Okay.
That'd be great.
Well, thanks, Bron.
Thank you.
Bye.
We have someone here that I'm very excited about, and what's really cool is that we met her a year ago when her book was just, had been accepted, right?
Mm-hmm.
But nothing really, and I've been following her this past year on her blog.
We sat at her table.
Yeah, we did. We sat at the same table. But tell us all the exciting things. Book is out now, correct?
No, May. 9 days.
9 days. May
5th, Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, that's how you're good, Ray. Well, tell us what's been going on with wings.
It's just,
and the cover is beautiful, by the way.
I love the cover. It's been really fun. We have been getting into all the marketing and stuff and finding out who's buying it. It will be in Borders and Barnes & Noble, and not only is it going to be there, I have floor displays. And so you'll see floor displays in both of the chains for the first 2 weeks in May.
Oh,
and
that
so
is
that's
awesome.
Fun, and they're really beautiful. And then I'm headed off on tour on the 4th, and I'm going to Tempe, L.A., Chicago, and then I'll be back and doing some things around here.
Very good.
And then in June, I'm actually going out with three other authors, Kim Harrison and Kelly Armstrong and Claudia Gray. They're actually all New York Times bestselling authors.
Wow.
And we are doing
the
Summer Supernatural Tour.
Ooh.
And we're going to be hitting Portland and Seattle.
That was
a lot of fun.
Go to Port Angeles while you're...
Yeah, no kidding.
I wish there was time.
No, Sheila's really been keeping us updated on what things have been going on with your book, when she's emailed you, what updates there have been.
How
she said you're actually going places. There's, you know, it's stirring. It's things are
it's
really moving with your book.
It's hopefully making a wave.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it is.
We're
with
very
everything that's
for
happening,
it.
I know it is. And the second book is done, and she told me the name of the second book, Spells.
Can we announce
yes.
it?
Yes. It is Spells, and you can announce that.
Great. That's so Wings and then Spells.
Wings and Spells.
And it's all with the same girl, 15-year-old
yes.
girl,
yes.
right?
Yes.
I really like
before.
Her. You read my interview with April Lynn on my blog, didn't you?
Yeah. I can't remember all the details, but...
We'll go back and read it.
I will.
It's very interesting.
I've read a lot of things.
It was a nice
then,
interview.
Sorry.
I thought it was, too.
Even though it was, like, sending you questions, and you answered them.
You were very kind to speak with us last year. When
yes,
we, you know, and tell us a little bit about.
Podcast.
Yeah. And then to take the time to visit with us again this year.
Appreciate
were you here for the entire conference, or are you just here
no.
for the gala?
I wasn't. I'm just here for the Whitney Awards. My husband graduated yesterday, and
wow.
We did parties, and we've had company, and so
no,
I'm
just
glad
just
I got to come tonight.
Too, so. Oh, I am glad too.
Well, pretty soon we'll be seeing your book up there on the list, I hope.
Well, I'm going to be
for
nominating
awards.
It.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I can tell you that. As yeah. soon as it's out, I will be nominating it.
Well, so. And when if you ever have a break from being all famous, you know, come in and spend some time, and we'll have a longer chance to talk, and you
excellent.
Can tell us
seriously,
some more detail.
We would love to have you come and spend 2 hours just talk and podcast with us. We have a lot of fun.
It sounds like
and
I
know
feed you.
You're leaving, though, Utah when?
In June.
But you'll be back, I'm sure, because you
I'll be back
here.
A lot. I'm actually signing at Education Week, so I'll be
oh, really?
Back for that.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wonderful. So all you yeah. ladies going to Education Week, watch for April and Pike.
Yes, yep. definitely.
Bring your book so she can sign it.
I should bring. Did you? I don't think you signed my ARC, did you?
I don't think you signed ARCs.
I think I did.
Did you?
I'm pretty sure.
I will have to check. But what was really fun on her blog, I won some prizes on her blog.
Really?
I like to give out prizes.
It was fun.
So people like to
it
get
came
prizes.
At a good time, too, yeah. so it was very exciting.
Yeah.
No. So thank you.
Oh, she was
you
a huge
so
fan.
Welcome.
I haven't had a chance to read Wings yet because
well,
she's
you should.
Been very guarded. She's
I'll let you.
Yes.
I'm very protective.
We've been able to see it.
That's
not let it go. And if they'll be nice to
it. We know what the cover looks like, and that's as close as she'll let me get to it.
This is her book, and it's really good, but this is mine, so go get your
No, well, okay, we can,
and you can
we'll sweet talk her into letting us borrow.
I will.
But we'll definitely have them read before we have you on the podcast next.
Great.
Okay.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time
thank
out to talk to us.
Absolutely.
Everybody, go check out our books.
Thanks.
Oh, what's the address to your blog and your website?
Oh, well, you can find it off of www.aprilinpike.com.
Okay.
And there's a link to my blog and all of that stuff.
Okay,
so.
Great. Well, we'll try and link it to our links section, too, so
great.
The readers can find you that way, too.
Okay.
Thanks very much, April.
Thanks.
And congratulations. All right, we're here with Greg Luke, author of The Survivors and Do No Harm, which is up for a Whitney Award this year. We're so excited to be talking with you because you're on our little list of people we really want to talk to.
Oh, thank you.
Because, and you can get a little bit closer to the mic. You don't have to be afraid.
Okay.
I know. just because there's background noise, we want to be able to hear you.
All right.
No, I read The Survivors first, and then I read Do No Harm, and told these girls about it on a podcast. We've talked about your books on a couple of our podcasts, and then after Hillary read it, you got an instant fan. Do you want to take over for a second?
Yes.
Thank you.
Loved The Survivors. That was the first one I'd read.
Such an interesting concept.
It was such a different concept.
Okay, I have it from the library right now, so don't say too much.
Plug your ears. You got to plug your ears, Sheila.
I did Do No Harm. I didn't even know after I read that. Then they told me, he has another book, and I went, what? Yeah. So, but I have it from the library, so don't say
plug your ears, Sheila, because I have a question.
La, 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 la.
during the last half of the book, and it was just interesting how you came up, like, where did that inspiration to write about that come from?
The village?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There? I'm a big fan of watching Discovery Channel, National Geographic, anything science-oriented like that. And they are
being a pharmacist and all that, you're not into science at all.
I'm somewhat of a geek that way, but
we're a science geek.
Yeah. When I was doing my undergrad work, I took an anthropology class from a man that literally said, drop me in the middle of the Venezuelan jungle, and I'm going to and find a tribe nobody else has found and live with them. And
really?
He
that
did
is amazing.
Just that.
He did?
Just amazing.
Wow. Yeah. His name was Napoleon Chagnon, or Chagnon is how it's spelled, and he found the Yanomamo Indians. And ever since then, I thought, there's got to be all sorts of tribes everywhere that nobody knows about.
Right, right.
So why not have one?
They have some.
Why not?
They reminded us of some people.
Oh,
exactly.
I love it.
From the book
of Mormon.
We
love that.
This is going to be good. Now I can't wait to read it.
You're going to love it.
You know what?
I know.
It was quite suspenseful. I mean, it had a lot of suspense, but it was just so interesting. Once you got to the village, it was like the book had me before, but then it kind of grabbed me in another way. You know, just where it starts my whole mind thinking of, well, what would that be like?
And what would it be like to be stuck with my daughter?
How do these people know these things?
His daughter, but I mean...
Exactly.
But, yeah. I mean, and I love the progression that he made. He started out cynical and somewhat, I don't know how else to describe him, just not a happy person, really.
Out.
He was burned out. Didn't know what to do
out.
With his family. And
he was a grump.
Just a grump, yeah. And this girl, she was so precocious.
Yes.
Oh, my word. There was no other word to describe her. Yeah. We were just so impressed. I was like, wow.
You know, when I started writing that...
She's one of the smartest 12-year-olds
I've ever heard of.
You know, when I started writing that, it was all about melody. And what I was wanting to do was show some of the miraculous cures that are in the rainforest that we have not discovered yet. And the story, as it progressed, ended up being more about David and about his conversion through her. And I was just delighted with the way it turned out.
It turned out great.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit different than how Do No Harm turned out.
Yes.
I could not believe how just gripping Do No Harm was. I loved the lady. I can't remember her name now.
I can't remember. But
Bria.
Bria, that's right.
It.
Oh, I loved her.
That story.
And just
she was feisty. And
oh, my goodness.
It was so good.
Oh, she had so much fun. I loved it.
That book is just, I'm pretty sure that I gave it 5 stars.
I might have also.
And I don't give out my 5 stars very often.
Don't you?
So
we're very stingy with our 5 stars, both of us.
At least if it was a 4, I meant 4.5. Because I was so, the books that are different
very
things
engaging.
I've read and they impress me, that is really the ones that earned the 5 stars for me.
And it had enough of a science aspect that we were intrigued but not bored by it. It was
just
was just enough that you're like, oh, okay, that's how that works. Well, oh, wait, wow.
And, you know, all the stuff you see on TV and stuff, you're like, maybe there really could be a facility like that.
You got to wonder. Somewhere.
And I think your book had one of the best endings that I've read this year.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously. I think that's what really got me. So, thank you
for
writing
such a good book. Unassuming pharmacist in a small town, and then, you know, this is what he gets roped into. But he doesn't throw his hands up in the air and say, no way, I'm not going to mess with it. He just kind of accepts it and says, you know what, I have to do this.
Oh, he's a very caring person.
And we loved that about him.
Right. Yeah.
You fell in love with a guy. You couldn't help it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's
so
a very nice guy.
Well done. We're so excited that you stopped and talked to us. So who are you?
So you
did that surprise
you? I know, exactly. So do you think you're going to have a sequel to that?
Or some more coming in the works?
Or something
along
that line?
Everybody asks me that. Is there a sequel to Survivors? Is there a sequel to Do No Harm? Because they love the characters.
We love the characters.
Just some kind of a
I'm generally just a one book person.
That's okay too.
But
one
book
for this one.
I haven't totally, you know, thrown out the idea.
So do you have another book in the works?
Are you working on something?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Covenant will be putting one out the 1st of June.
Oh, yes! We're excited. So how do we get on your ARC list?
Are we too late?
What's an ARC list?
Advanced reader copy.
Oh.
Do we need to contact
just
them?
Just email me.
Okay.
We would love that.
I'm www.gregluke, all one word, mm-hmm. but Greg has two G's at the end.
Right,
okay?
We know
so
that.
GregLuke.com.
Super.
Okay. And where do you, are you located in Utah or do you live outside?
Yes, I live up in Cache Valley.
Oh, okay. Great.
Well, you know what? We're going to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll have you come.
Do you
want
to come?
That would be great.
I would love it.
Yeah.
The book that's coming out next is actually set in Cache Valley up at Utah State.
Oh, really?
What's the name?
What's it called?
It's called Altered State.
Oh, nice. So that just sounds good.
Sounds good. Name.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Good luck tonight. We are very
we're
excited.
I'm up against some really good competition.
You really are.
Yes, you are.
So,
I'm just happy to be here. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you. It's wonderful to meet you.
Thank you for reading my book.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, we're here with Candace Salima, right?
Yes.
Okay. I want to make sure I said that right.
Yes, you did.
We're actually really happy to talk with you. I know we've chatted a little bit through Goodreads and stuff, and I've read some of your blogs, things like that. So
I'm her friend on Goodreads.
Sheila is
Facebook.
Her friend on Facebook.
We talk a lot on Facebook.
So Sheila and Candace have a nice little friendship going on over there.
I love her.
Why don't you tell us a little bit what's going on with you lately?
Politically?
Like what you want, just, you know, basically what you've been up to.
Because I've been up to saving America.
Yes. I mean, literally, she has, if you read anything that's been going on. I mean, she was put
so
together the Tea Parties
shaker.
On Tax Day.
Yeah. I am a political mover and shaker. I am indeed. And I am very much involved with the Tea Day, you know, Tea Parties.
Mm-hmm.
Do another one on the 4th nationwide. It's another thing. And
awesome.
We're shooting very for nice. Millions this time.
So why don't you tell us, tell our listeners where people can find out this information from you?
Well, they can go to my blog, CandaceSalima.blogspot.com, and Candace is C-A-N-D-A-C-E, last name S-A-L-I-M-A.
Okay.
And they can go there and check it out. But if you're on Facebook, just type in July 4th
Tea
Party.
Right there.
You will find it.
So it's going to be an Orem. That's good to know.
Okay. Well, actually,
where is it going
to
be?
Orem was a little difficult to work with. Love Orem. It's my hometown.
Right,
love them.
Right.
But Mayor Billings of Provo has been awesome in helping us find a venue, and I can't say where it is just yet, but he got us a rockin' place. And
that
hopefully it'll be
fantastic.
All confirmed within 3 or 4 days, and it'll be right on the parade route.
Nice.
Oh,
wow.
That is great.
That you haven't been doing as much with your writing.
I actually
Okay.
Really?
Well,
when is the only time to do that, Candace?
Well, you see these big dark circles under my eyes?
Yeah.
I've got 2 books almost done. And I am launching a publishing house.
I am excited.
That keeps me busy.
Who are you in working with? Is it just you launching the publishing house?
Me.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That's quite the undertaking. And there's
my
handsome husband right there.
Yes.
It's so nice to meet you. And I'm so glad to see you're healthy and happy. That's good.
Yeah. As long as I have my pharmacy with me.
Amen. That's awesome. Good for
you.
Well,
we just were talking to Greg Luke.
He's a pharmacist. That was a great book, wasn't it?
That was one.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
I'm one of the judges, so I read all 26 books.
She was
younger.
Oh,
than
I was
one
of the judges for the youth fiction, but then we read all of them for the whole thing.
Okay, did youth fiction just about kill you?
You mean because it was so hard I didn't know who to vote for?
They were all great?
Yes, so hard. It was like almost eeny, meeny, miny,
miny. You know, I was glad I didn't have to vote for, though. The mystery suspense.
That one was a hard
one. That one would be so difficult for me.
Do you know what? This is only our second year, and it was hard this year. Really hard.
You were on the Whitney committee.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Just so that the listeners know.
No. I'm not on the committee.
No, you're.
I'm on the committee, not the board.
I know. There's all these different little things.
I don't know. I am an LDS story maker. And
there you go.
I am a judge of the Whitney
Award. Okay, I have a question I wanted to ask someone. Now, with the LDS story makers, can any of us join that are writing, or do we have to actually have something published
before?
You
have to be published by a traditional publisher. It can't be
like
self-published.
Okay, so as soon as I get something published, then I get to be part. Okay.
And it can be a small press. It doesn't have to be, you know, big guys. Just
not
published by somebody
else.
Cedar Fort.
Just not self-published.
I know. Anyway, okay, so yes, I do have books coming out. Yes, I am launching launching a publishing house, and yes, I'm very excited about everything, and I'm saving America.
There you go. You are a very busy woman, as always. You're always busy doing something.
I am.
And you're going to be singing Super Trooper.
And I am going to be singing Super Trooper and Dancing Queen.
Very nice. Well, that'll be fun for your family and your kids to see you do that.
Oh, my gosh. There's going to be 500 people. They're coming from everywhere.
Well, good luck with that, and thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you so much for having me, you guys.
Okay, we'll see you
later. See you all on Goodreads on Facebook.
Oh, good. Great.
Hi, I'm finally getting to talk to you. We have H.P. Moore, which is Heather, and she has won again 2 years in a row, but it's a different category.
Same category.
Well, you're dominant now.
Oh, definitely not. I had a lot of competition, and I felt like the bar was raised. I read all of the other books in my category, which is historical fiction, and I loved all of them, and I really didn't think I had a chance, and it wasn't like I was hoping for a chance, because I would have been happy if anybody won, so I felt privileged just to be a finalist.
Well, I loved Abinadi, and I was like your son, why did he have to die? Even though that really would have warped Book of Mormon stories, but it was so well written, and I have to say, I really liked your twist of having Abinadi being depicted as being younger.
Well, thank you. That was something when I first started trying to characterize him. I was asking around and reading different articles by Book of Mormon scholars, and nothing told his age, so that's where I kind of had the bravery and the courage to even make him younger.
I just think it made the story that much better, having a younger, appearing to be a good-looking man who, you know, had a wife and a child. I just made the story so meaningful. Where do you go now? What comes next?
The next book is actually a sequel. It's called Anna the Elder. And I'm currently writing a nonfiction book on women in the Book of Mormon. And then as soon as I'm done with that, this summer I'll start writing Anna the Younger.
Well, that sounds great. Well, congratulations. I'm so happy for you. And it's well deserved. Truly it is.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Heather. I'm with Tracy Winger, and she was one of the nominees for Best General Fiction. She wrote a book called Keeping Keller. And do you want to tell us a little bit about Keeping Keller, what it was about?
It was about, set in the 1950s, about a family dealing with a child with a mental disability.
And I know this had a lot of personal meaning to you, and that really touched me. And if you want to, share with our listeners what that's about?
I have two sons who were diagnosed with autism. My older son will be with us for the remainder of his life. And then my younger son is now considered Asperger's syndrome. So,
you know, I just feel like you were blessed from Heavenly Father to write this book. I just kind of feel, when I was reading that there's so many parents out there that just feel like they don't have a place with their kids. I have a little neighbor boy that has Asperger's. And, you know, it just says the mom has struggled so much. And I'm going to share your book with her just so she can kind of feel like someone does understand what she's going through.
That's so kind of you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I lived it, so I feel like I deserve to have, I don't know, something to show for it, I guess. And I think that Heavenly Father gave that to me so that I could write this book. Oh, I have patience now.
You really do get blessed with patience when you have children that are special. And you know how. But thank you so much for writing this book.
That's kind of you. Thank you for the interview.
Hey, no problem. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Have a good night.
Hey,
thanks so much.
Too.
Podcast, yeah.
Yes, this is with LDS Women's Book Review, and I am so happy to talk to you, Brandon.
Well, thank you.
You know, you, like I was telling you before,
she's your biggest fan.
Oh.
I'm a huge fan, just because anybody that knows me knows I love sci-fi and fantasy. That's my number one love of books when I choose reading. But with yours, I mean, it's a fantasy, but it is more than that. And like I was telling you before, you are brilliant. Your mind is just unreal to me, how you were able to map all this out. Now tell me, did you map it all out, all three books, at the very beginning?
I actually did. I'm a planner. A lot of writers are very different in how they approach things. With me, I always want to have my plot and my setting very well developed before I start. I discovery write my characters. I let them grow. Essentially, I don't know who they're going to be until they approach these big events, but I know what the big events are going to be. So I do know them. time. In fact, the Mistborn trilogy is interesting. When I sold my very first book, Elantris, I sold it. The publisher said, okay, it's going to come out in about 2.5 years. I'm like, 2.5 years? And I'm like, yeah. You know, with the first author, we like to take a little extra time on editing, a little extra time on publicity and these things. And they're like, so we really don't need your next book for about 2 years. But we do need another, you know, it was a two-book contract. That said to me, you know, I could actually write an entire trilogy straight through, rough drafted, by the time the first one had to come out, I could have the third one done. And so I actually did that. I sat down, I wrote the Mistborn trilogy, all three books before the first one came out. Because of that extra space. It wasn't that I was writing really fast, it's just I had all that space. So I was able to do all this fun stuff where I could plot out a three-book arc, write it out, and anything that didn't quite fit, I was able to go back to the first one, still work through it, and essentially write one big book that,
Well, that explains why it was so good and how it all blended in so well from book one to book two to book three. And you have to understand, for those people who have not read this trilogy, is that they go into all the medals that, you know, that it does for different people, what it helps Vin do. I love Vin, by the way. One of my favorite characters is Sayaz. Is that how you...
I say Sazed. Sazed.
Okay, yes. I was wondering
but
how
know,
to pronounce
hey.
That. No, it's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
I just...
I'm of the philosophy that everyone who reads a book participates in it. Reading is participatory art. And so what I do is I create something, but it's not finished until it's read. And so when you read it, the names that you assign are the right names in your telling of that book.
I love that. I do have to say, I really admire authors that will kill off some of their characters, even though it was sad in the third book.
Don't give any spoilers.
I'm not going to. I'm just saying I admire authors. I'm not going to say anything. But I did cry. Was I supposed to cry?
I think you were supposed to cry. I don't know. When I write a book, I never go into it saying, oh, I'm going to kill off this character. I don't do things like that. What I do is I say, I have to be willing to let the characters take the risks that I believe they would take. I have to give them that opportunity, and I have to let it be dangerous for them to do so. And if a character does want to give all and risk all, I have to be willing to allow that. And I can't pull the punches for them as characters. I can't, as the author, I can't hold it back. And so I have to let them do what they feel they need to do.
Oh, and seriously, it's so very powerful. And we're hoping someday that we can get you to come and do a 2-hour podcast with us.
Okay.
Would you like to do that?
In a little time, but
oh, let me tell you, I have a nephew that has read...
And my husband.
Yeah, that has read every book. He gets home from his mission in December. When does that book come out?
Comes out in November.
Oh, he will be so thrilled. So then you can come and podcast just with us.
We have a studio audience.
Yeah, I'd love to. I love podcasting. I do it myself, so.
Yeah, I just heard about it. It's like a 15-minute podcast or something.
Yeah, it's really, really fast-paced, kind of bam, bam, bam about writing. It's called Writing Excuses.
Well, ours is usually 2 hours, so. If you'd like to bring your wife with you, we always feed everybody before they come, before we get started. But just so impressed. I'm so happy for your win tonight.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
It was very, very, very well deserved. Yes. So thank you. I'm getting really good at this. I've been doing this all day long. We are with our good friend, Mom Josie Gilbeck. And she's done a tremendous job. You haven't been here in the last 2 days. And she's just been running around like crazy doing everything with the Storymakers Conference. And I was going to ask you, English Trifle, your next book is coming out.
Yes, it's coming out probably in August, which is what we're looking for. I just saw the preliminary cover last week. So hopefully I'll have it posted within the next week or so.
So it's like luxurious, or just...
Great. Sure. Oh yeah, there's a big English Trifle on the front. So English Trifle and handcuffs.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are you going to be going with the same main characters, or are you taking a totally different story?
It is the same character, Sadie Hawk Miller. So
we love Sadie.
It's the second in the Sadie Hawk Miller culinary mystery series. I guess that's kind of a mouthful. But it is, however, I've worked really hard on making it a standalone. So if you get English Trifle before Lemon Tart comes about, you can still be intrigued enough to want to read Lemon Tart. I don't give up how Lemon Tart comes about. So hopefully I'll be able to keep that up. But it's been fun, and now I'm working on the third one, which is Devil's Food Cake.
Woo!
should hopefully be out in January of 2010.
Okay, I have to know, does Sadie, because when you podcasted earlier, I caught the last, I think, 10 minutes
yes,
of it.
Yes, she did,
so,
yes.
I need to know, does she hook up with the detective?
I thought she was going to say the dead guy.
You're
she
gonna have to wait and see, Hillary. I apologize. Because English Trifle takes place in Devonshire, and he's a working man. He was not able to take a week off and travel with them. So you're going to have to wait for Devil's Food to see what happens with
you. You're mean. That's
me.
That's just me. You're mean.
Yeah, that's part of being an author. You play with people's heads.
Now, the next question, are you going to kill someone off in the first chapter like I've learned the last 2 days?
Well, yeah. That's what you do.
Yeah, I have learned so much the last 2 days.
You're writing a children's book. Oh. The first 2 days.
Okay, I better not kill anyone in the children's book. Sorry. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us what you might be involved with right now, what you're doing?
You know, I'm just trying to get this third book written and now the Whitney's over for this year and the conference over for this year. I love them, but it's been a lot of work for the last month or so. And so it's nice that it's done. It's nice that it ended so well. It was such a great evening. So I am going to write. I'm going to get this book done. And I so appreciate you guys. I'm such a thrill to have you guys involved, and you guys did a great job presenting, and it's just been so much fun. One of the best parts of my writing career has been just meeting exceptional people that just inspire me and just remind me just how great this really can be, and I so appreciate you guys' gifts and all of your efforts and contributions to this entire LDS book. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We thoroughly enjoy it. This is my fun part of my life. So.
Are you going to come see us when that comes out this year?
Awesome.
Have you seen me running around with a mic?
I have.
It's been so much fun. Okay, you just made a huge announcement besides the fact that you have your MBA now.
Yes.
What was your big announcement?
My big announcement is that I have resigned from the Whitney Awards as the president, and that Carrie Blair will be the new president.
Go on.
You can just... I'll let you
the
talk.
Thing that I wanted you to know is that we all realize just what a wonderful person you are, and you're not going to get away from the writing community here in Utah, correct?
Oh, absolutely, and I don't want to. I mean, I'll still be at all the conferences, and I'll still be doing everything. I just won't be the president. Thank goodness.
So you can just come and enjoy yourself instead of running around with your head cut off.
Yeah, I'm sure I'll run around for other reasons, but yes, not for this.
Okay, now, I want to get to your writing, because you know what? We want a book from you. I mean, we can really...
You and Jeff, we're
frustrated. Yeah.
I'm sorry. My writing right now, I've got a little kid's book that I was asked to write by a publisher.
Really?
Not little kids, but chapter book age.
Middle age?
Kind of
10, 11-year-old.
The Diary of a Wimpy Kid age.
Oh, love it.
Okay.
And a publisher asked me to write it, and so I wrote up a proposal on that. They actually said no because they ran out of money. Is my understanding. But then they passed it on to a contact they have at Simon Schuster, so we're hoping that turns into something. I don't know.
That would be good, though, because that would be my kids that I teach that
level.
Because all of my second graders are reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid right now. They sit there during silent reading time reading it to each other. It's like, it's silent reading. But what else were you going to tell us?
Oh, nothing. I'm working on a young adult kind of science fiction.
Of course.
Yeah.
We have to have everybody write
yes,
science fiction.
Yes, we do, because it makes Sheila happy.
Yes, but then it's Hillary that's not happy because he's not writing another book that's mystery.
Just for Hillary, I'm going to write a boring nonfiction issues or something. I don't know.
That would be fantastic. Although, I do have to say, I read every single one of the mystery suspense before I knew which ones were nominated. I'd already read all
really?
Five. I was so excited.
Yep.
I have
I was proud of myself.
Nicely
even the romances,
done.
I hadn't read all of those.
Really?
I read all of
serious. She was good. She was good
excited.
To do all of it.
It was a new leaf. I think my genre has changed.
I really do.
I still like my nonfiction.
Okay, so how far are you in this fantasy idea? Do you have a manuscript written? Are you writing it now?
I've been dabbling, but I mean, I've been in school, and so...
Yeah, big excuse. Like an MBA is a big thing, but...
I probably got like 13 or 14 chapters done.
Oh, geez, well...
So, I mean, I still got a lot of work to go.
Yeah, you do. Oh, we're excited. Will you please let us know and keep informed about what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I want you guys to tell me what you thought about the winners.
Really?
Is this on the record or off the record?
I was like, let's turn it off.
No, you know what? I was so absolutely thrilled for Brandon because if anyone that's read that trilogy of Mistborn, it's just incredible. And I just went up to him and said, you're brilliant. I mean, his brain to come up with everything is just unreal.
Yeah, it's really terrific. I mean, his book is great. All the books are great. But yeah, I mean, I've been a big Brandon fan for a long time. I don't know if you guys know this, but Brandon actually was in my very first writing group long before any of us were published. And I mean, he was well on his way. But yeah, it was my writing group with him and then with my brother Dan, who now has a book out also. And
he's interesting, too.
He's an odd character.
He really is. After the panel today, I was like, is he related to Rob?
Yeah, he is. And his book, I mean, as strange as it sounds, you guys got to read it. It's really terrific. And it sounds creepy, and it is creepy, but it's not, like, evil creepy. It's really good. It's really, really well written.
Well, that panel was very good with the middle-aged, you know, YA group panel. That was good. Now, there was one other question. Oh, what did you think about how we did with our presentation?
I thought it was phenomenal. I think it was the best part of me.
We practiced a lot, I want you to know. We took it very seriously.
You didn't have scripts. I was impressed. I mean, everyone else had scripts.
Shanda made us memorize it.
We were forced.
She's a taskmaster.
She is a taskmaster.
In fact, she made us. She called us up. We had all three-way on the phone. And so we all were talking and doing our parts. So.
And we even had to practice in the bathroom before we came out.
Really?
If anyone would have walked in, we were all in there practicing our parts in the bathroom.
Well, it was very good.
Oh, yeah. Stunning.
Well, you will be missed in this capacity, but we know you're not going away anywhere, so we'll still have Rob Wells around, which makes me very happy.
For sure. I'll definitely be here. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Rob. Now we're talking to Angela Eschler. You wrote the love letters of Joseph and Emma.
Which was wonderfully edited.
She self-edited, is that what you're saying?
No, my editors at Kevin were fabulous. Kathy, Desmond, and Noel. It's really live recording.
Yes, it is.
Angela, it's a beautiful book, and we are so excited to see it and to see you write. You've always been behind the scenes, so it's great to see you out in front where you belong.
Serious, I agree.
Such
I totally
good
agree.
So beautiful.
And what's really cool, she needs to tell our listeners what she told me at lunch today, how many books she's working on right now.
I have one sentence done on 10 different books. Going on.
I loved that answer.
I have lots of ideas, no productivity, but I've been inspired by the content to practice more.
See, I feel the same way Angela does. I have all these children's books written with like the first two pages. So maybe we can inspire each other. She's so good. She can look at something and go, ooh, yuck, do I again?
I never say ooh, yuck.
No, she says it in a nicer way than
I
that.
I don't believe you. Yeah, I was going to say
she's an editor. You might like to try this. No, she's very good when she was helping me with a story. So. Oh, we love you. You're fun. Are you going to come back and talk to us again sometime?
Yes. You guys are sweethearts. I'm very excited to see all of your careers take off. You guys did such a great job in your presentation.
Oh, well, thank you. We practiced really hard. We were telling Rob Wells that we were practicing in the bathroom right before.
That's great. I'm glad that I had one that I didn't have to practice. Annette emailed me and said, how about this? And I said, yes. No funny, no practice, no clever. Let's do it.
It sounded good. Practice or no practice, it
yes,
sounded great.
Thank you. I can read. That's part of my degree.
And she does have a degree. You have more than one degree.
No, I actually only have one degree. I did an extra year to do a thesis and stuff, but I technically just have one degree. Okay. It's amazing. You can do things in life with one degree.
But she's really, really smart. We know that.
We are. Everybody's smart. Everybody's special.
There's that editor again.
Yes.
Hey, well, just remember you promised that she'll come talk to us.
Please do.
Okay, thank you.
We'll talk to you again.
And now I'm walking up to someone who looks really dang good tonight.
I look awesome.
You, Jessica J. George, has recovered very well from having a baby.
I still have. I have totally recovered.
What have you been doing to look as good as you look?
Eating chocolate.
Don't tell me no.
attractive for me.
I so totally eat a lot of chocolate.
Well, she's chasing after her son, who I know is very active, and you have a brand new... Oh, it's your little girl, though.
She's 6 months. She's almost 7 months. And she can roll with purpose. So it's like the whole frantic, oh my gosh, we need the baby gate. The baby's rolling towards the stairs. Somebody grab her.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
Because he's awesome. Always the whole, what if you go to these people's houses and it's just an elaborate ruse to kill you? Yeah, that type of thing.
We just feed people a lot, so that's what our biggest problem is. But no, tell us the date of your third book in the Dragon series. When is it coming out?
May 12th.
Right away.
Yes. Okay. It comes out May 12th. I will be at the King's English on May 15th to sign in the evening at 7 p.m., I believe, and at Barnes & Noble at Jordan Landing on May 30th
Yay!
At 2 p.m. to read and sign from my third dragon book.
And what is the name?
Dragon Spear.
I love that. Well, I will be there. My kids had fun the last time. Are you going to come again, Angela?
I saw you there at the... Yeah. I feel obligated to all of Jessica's things.
Are you her editor?
No.
Are you her friend?
Yes.
And that's good.
And I'm in her book club, and I live in her neighborhood, so if I didn't go to things, I would suck.
Are you in the same ward?
No, we were.
We were.
We were at one point.
Yeah, we were, but we're not anymore. But that shouldn't make you feel obligated, because no one else in the ward ever shows up around the signing, so.
Yes, but apparently I'm a better friend.
You are a good friend. Okay, now when you came to podcast with us, you had all these great ideas for books in your head. What? Where is your head, like, putting it down on paper? Which part of those wonderful ideas are you writing now? Because there were some really awesome ideas.
What's happened is called schizophrenia.
Is that the name of the book, or is that your current state of your mind?
It is the current state of my multiple mind. So what's happened is I have finished a sequel to Princess and the Night Ball. And it's just sitting there waiting to be negotiated with the contractee and all that stuff. But what happened was I started working on one book, and then I went, ooh, but now I also want to work on this book. And today I work on this book, and last week I started a new book. So I actually have... four books in progress right now, and I'm going to get so many chapters into each of them and then hand them to my editor, and she's going to throw a dart and pick the one we're going to do first. So
see, you're not the only one with that problem, Angela.
Yeah, except for Jessica's productive. I do a sentence, she keeps writing all of them.
Yeah, Angela told us she's like writing 10 different books but only has like one or two sentences for each book, so...
She actually, Jessica is actually one of the most productive writers I know. What, do you do 2-3 books a year or something? Right? Depending on the year?
Yes.
Is that crazy?
I think it's unreal.
She has kids and stuff.
I have had 5 books come out in 2 years. When Dragon Spear comes out, that's 5 books in 2 years.
Oh my word!
So it's funny because I'm always like, but, you know, maybe my sales should be bigger, or this or that award stuff. And then my editor goes, whoa, sweetheart, I know you have 5 books, but most people, when they've had 5 books, have been published for like 10 years.
Wow. That is so, I mean, that's just a real number. That's exciting. Well, good for you. I'm glad to hear that you're doing a sequel. I didn't even realize you were doing a sequel. I love that book, and I've been telling a lot of people about it. Just that it's a little bit darker twist on the cute little fairy tale, and a lot of people are interested because of that. So good luck with that, and we will be there at Barnes & Noble with my crazy children to terrorize you again.
I love your kids. They're awesome.
Well, my daughter won a book and was so excited. So.
Oh, yes. Yes, bring the kids. It's fun.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Angela, again.
You're welcome. Good.
Angela Eschler, again. There you go. Okay, I am talking to the husbands of authors here. I have Jessica D. George's husband. What is your name?
Mike.
And I also have Angela Eschler's husband. Your name is?
Bruce.
Now, what do you guys like about being married to an author?
Well, we always have plenty of things to do around the house. Between caring for the kids, giving Jessica time to write, or coming to events like this, there's always lots of stuff to do. So life is never dull.
There you go. And she's a busy gal. She just told us, you know, writing 5 books in that short period of time. It's just incredible. How about you? What is it like being married to Angela Eschler, who is not only an author, but she's been an editor for a long time?
It's great when
on those rare moments I feel motivated to write, that I could actually get advice from somebody who knows what they're talking about.
So you are an aspiring writer also?
I plead the fifth.
No. Tell us. We're very interested. What genre?
I'm a man of many passions.
You look like a fantasy guy to me.
You might need to be offended by that. I'm not sure.
No.
Am I right?
One of my passions would be fantasy.
Okay. Well, the only reason I say that is because I'm a real big fantasy nerd myself. So I can spot one because I am one. So that's why I said that.
We have one of those, like, you know, radar signs up above our head. Fantasy geek, fantasy
exactly.
Geek. I roll dice for a living.
I think it's a great thing to be, let me tell you. It really is. But is there anything else you wanted to let our listeners know about being married to these wonderful women? We think they're great at LDS Women's Book Review, but...
buy their books.
Yeah, say it again.
Buy their books.
Yeah, I'd recommend that everyone purchase Dragonfly or Dragon Spirit. It comes out in a couple of weeks, and yeah.
Well, I'm going to be there at Barnes and Noble. I already told her we'll be there for the signing. Well, thank you, gentlemen.
I wanted a picture of it for LDS.
Okay, I am interviewing you now, Carrie Blair. You are the woman of the evening. You were a Lifetime Achievement Award and also named the new president of the Whitney Academy. How do you feel about this?
I'm so totally overwhelmed. I mean, it's the only time in my entire life I'll be in a program with Orson Scott Card. No one can replace Robinson, though. So if I can do half of that, I would be thrilled. However, I'm pleased to announce that I've been putting together an incredible committee. And we'll do our best to keep on keeping on.
Well,
terrible at interviews.
You know what? You're doing a great job. I feel very honored that I was asked to do this. And to be able to work with you is beyond thrilling for me. Thank you so much.
Well,
I'm serious. But you know what? I think you will do bring a different twist. You will bring your talents to this, and because you're very unique in your own way.
There are a couple things that we're especially excited about, and one is the scholarship and grant program. We'll be giving 4 scholarships to the upcoming young adult conference.
Right.
Later this summer. Yay. We're offering 4 of those, and then next year at the Whitney's, we'll be giving a scholarship to a college student or a senior entering college. We can't announce the amount yet because we don't really know. And we'll also give a grant, whether it'll go toward buying a laptop or paying for childcare so that you can write, or a trip so that you can research, you know, or whatever. And so we're trying to do something that will not only congratulate people who are already achieving, but make this dream possible for other people who may not otherwise have the opportunity.
See, right there, you have already made a difference by what you have planned. So it's just incredible. And I know you're going to do a fabulous job. So we're excited. We're here. I want you to know, as LDS Women's Book Review, we are here to support you and help you in any way. And what Rob would always do, you know, when it would come to any announcements for the Whitney's, he would come and do a podcast with us. And so you are invited right now to come and podcast with us when you need to come and make announcements so we can get it out there to our listeners.
That would be great. I'm not glib like Rob, but I'd be honored. You guys, I said this last year, you make such a difference. You take the LDS Asian market to people who would not otherwise read it and appreciate it and know what we have there. And so you're such a valuable resource. We just can't tell you. So anytime, every day.
Super. Well, that will be good. Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Again.
Thank you.
Okay, Stephanie Black was one of my first interviews early this morning when I first got here. But now I'm interviewing Stephanie Black, the winner of a Whitney Award. How does it feel?
I'm very, very excited. It's a huge honor. No, I'm just there.
You know, you looked really surprised. Why were you surprised when you walked up there?
You know, you just never know what's going to happen. And, of course, you hope and hope and hope. But there was really, really fierce competition in the suspense category. And so I was just really thrilled and excited to win.
Well, that should make you very happy. And just, you know, this will bring a lot of new readers to your book. Does that make you excited?
Definitely.
You know, because I know we do a lot of promotion for the people that win the Whitney Awards. You know, we go and talk about it on our podcast. And we're excited to promote you more, and I'm just thrilled for you. You deserve this. You've worked hard. And how long have you been working on becoming a writer? I thought that was interesting what you said in the panel today.
Really, I've enjoyed making up stories for, in various guises all my life. Barbie games when I was little, writing plays for the younger siblings. I started more of the creative writing, fiction, right around the time I graduated from high school. Just played around with it for years, and then a few years later tried to write a novel, didn't know what I was doing. Started again, studied the technique, and so really, a couple of decades. So it's been about 15 years. That's not right. Let's see, it's been longer than that now. I don't know how long it's been.
It's been a very long time,
yes.
Well, this is so well deserved. We're happy for you, and when I saw your face, you just going up there. I was thrilled for you because, you worked so hard on things, and to be recognized, it's got to be one of the best feelings.
It is. It absolutely is. It's just a huge thrill.
Well, we're happy for you, and I'm looking forward to that next book. You said it's coming out in August.
In August, yes. Yeah.
I cannot believe I remembered that. I've interviewed so many people today about their books. I can't believe it. And the name, tell me the name again.
The name is Methods of Madness.
That sounds like a book that would work really well with my life right now.
Yeah, I told a friend the title, and she said, is it about working in young women?
Or just being a mom.
Being a mom, yes.
No, I will be looking forward to that. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you.
Okay, I found another author. I'm getting tired of talking today, aren't I? Who had a book up for one of the Whitney nominees. And is it N.C.?
Yes.
Allen, and it's really Nancy?
Nancy Campbell.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Nancy Campbell Allen, and I write my contemporaries under my full name, which is Nancy Campbell Allen. And I write my historicals under just my initials, Nancy Allen.
Was this a decision by an editor or your publishing company?
It was. When my first book were romantic adventures, and that was with my full name. And so when we came time for my Civil War series, which was Faith of Our Fathers, they said, we want this to have a broad readership, and so, men are going to want to read this, and maybe they don't want to think it's written by a romance novelist, so we changed it to just my initials.
Well, I know there are a lot of people that love that book, and seriously, I've got a lot of people in my ward, and people I've talked to, they just absolutely love it. You've done a nice job. What is your background in history?
I love doing history, and I also love research. My degree is actually in elementary education, which has nothing to do with anything I'm doing now. But I'm a real research fan, and I've always had a particular fascination with the Civil War. So it just was kind of a labor of love to do it.
There you go. Well, I'm an elementary school teacher, but I took 40 hours of history, so that's why I enjoy reading historical fiction. And I think you've done an excellent job. That's why I thought maybe you had a history major or something.
No, it's just a love. It's just a passion for it. So.
Okay, well, what do you have coming up next as far as your books coming out or something you're working on?
I have, just last fall, I released a book called The Ball of Web, Legend of the Jewel, and that was a spin-off of the Civil War series, but it's kind of a mystery adventure story. And right now, a sequel to that, and I'm hoping to see that probably sometime 2010.
Oh, that's great! I didn't realize that. Well, I guess you haven't told too many people you're writing a sequel, or have you told that many people? I just didn't know.
No, I haven't. I left the other one that I left was a cliffhanger, so people kind of assumed after they read that it was going to be a sequel on that one.
Cliffhangers are evil.
I know.
Jeff Savage has a really bad one on Dead on Arrival, and he just won't write it till he's done with the Far World. And then Kathy Oram Peterson had a really evil cliffhanger at the end of Forgotten Warrior, so we can call you another one that has an evil cliffhanger.
Yes, and it is evil. I willingly admit that it's an evil cliffhanger.
Did you do this on purpose, or did it just kind of work out that way?
Well, it worked out that way, and actually it seemed like a natural stopping point and a natural point to start the next story. And some people have been really offended by it, and other people have said, it's just a cliffhanger, so some people are okay with it, some people not.
We always have people making jokes about you like we were doing tonight.
Yes, the evil one.
Exactly. Well, it's so nice to meet you, and if you're ever interested in coming on to our podcast and talking about your latest book, we would love to have you.
Thank you. I just appreciate it. I'm very flattered.
Great. Thank you. You have to say hi to us really, really fast, okay?
Okay.
Okay, tell us about your latest book that you have out, or is going to be coming out.
Okay, the next book I have coming out is the sequel to Modest Proposal, which is the first book in the Butterfly Box series. But my goal was to have 5 books in this series, but because the market's been kind of weird, we'll see how many people survive in the third book.
Oh!
I may have to
I just stopped the series. I don't know what I'll do with them.
But we'll see. The second book's in, though. It's been accepted, so it's coming out. I have some working titles, but I've learned not to spend too much time naming a book because you know how that goes.
Yeah.
You never keep it.
Well, I learned that. You know, I've learned a lot about how it's good to kill people off in your books and do it in the first chapter. So I've learned so much. Less
yeah,
she and, you know, you never pick the title.
And I keep reminding Sheila she's writing a children's book. She doesn't want to kill off anybody.
Yeah, she keeps telling me I can't kill off anybody in my children's picture book. So. Oh, I forgot to introduce you. Would you like to tell our listeners? You are. I'm sorry.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle Ashman Bell.
I apologize. That's usually okay. I say that, Michelle. It's like usually I introduce people. You know, you have written so many books. Can you tell our listeners how many books altogether you've written?
I think this Butterfly Box is my 18th. So
that is amazing.
But I've been doing this a long time. So,
well, how old were you when you wrote your first book?
Well, the first book I wrote and the first book I published are two different books.
Uh huh.
I wrote my first book when I was 24, but it took me 10 years to get published. So, and the book that I wrote first will probably never see the light of day again. You know how
is that a good thing?
You know, it's funny because it's like the first thing I ever put my heart into. So it has a special place in my heart, but I don't think it's worthy of being published. But
right.
But it's special to me, you know.
Okay, well, since you've been in the industry longer than a lot of our younger writers that are just starting out, even when I get a book published, I won't be a younger writer.
Yeah.
I'll be an old writer getting a first book published. But how has the industry changed? Do you think it's easier to get a book published than it was 10, 15 years ago?
You know, I don't. In fact, I talked to two or three people today. We had this exact discussion saying, we're so glad we got into the market when we did because we don't know if we could get into it now. Seriously, the level of writing has improved so much. It has become so competitive. And I think the quality that's coming out is as good as anything on the national market. And so we were all saying, oh, man, I'm so glad we broke in when we did because really, the people getting into it now have got to be such good writers and know their stuff, really.
Well, that's why I came to the Writers' Conference. I need to go to more of them just so I can see this. I really need to learn the craft a little bit more before I attempt to, you know, actually turn some manuscripts in. But it's so important I can see that.
Well, for any of your listeners, though, you can learn the craft and know the nuts and bolts of all this, but really it comes down to just being so passionate about what you're writing that it kind of supersedes it. As long as that story is just so special and there's something so amazing and fresh to it that is going to resonate with readers, even if it's not the best written book or the most correctly written book, the story will sell it. So don't get too, you know, don't get over programmed so you forget that it's really all about what you're writing about from your heart.
Well, that's good advice, and I'm taking it, because I know there are a lot of other people listening that also are aspiring writers, but I'm taking that to heart, truly. Now, how can our listeners get a hold of your work or get a hold of you? You have a blog.
I have a blog.
And I enjoy reading your blog. Do you want to tell us about your blog?
My blog is kind of a work in progress. I'm starting to figure out what works and what doesn't work and what's attracting readers, and I apologize for the first 40 posts that probably were a bunch of garbage, because I was just learning and starting to realize that, you know, that's an entity that blogging is really a great place to get to know people.
Yes.
And to connect with people. So what I'm trying to do now is well, I post twice a week. One of them I'm going to devote to interviews with other authors because I learn personally so much from their journeys, and I think authors have a lot to say and share with the readers, and I think readers like to learn about the authors. So that's what I'm devoting mostly my Thursday blog to, and my Monday blogs are going to be personal stuff pertaining to what's going on in my life, what's going on with my books.
Very good.
And just interesting stuff. And then I had a blog giveaway with some baby clothes that my little niece is making, and I have never had more hits in my life. So I'm like, okay, obviously people like free stuff. So now that I caught on to that, I'm going to try and do more giveaways on my Monday blog. So I may have to add another day where I can just chit-chat because I gotta talk. But, yeah, so my blog is Michelle with one L, abell.blogspot.com.
Good. That would be good. And do you also do some magazine writing, too?
Bacon breath mint once.
You know, I don't.
Okay, I was just curious. I never had asked or, you know, or had read anything. So I just, because you just do so well with your blog and in your writing, I just thought that you'd be really good to write for one of the magazines out there.
I'm dabbling a little bit. I had a couple of short stories in, like, Children's Friend, but that's not magazine writing. I was asked to write an article about modesty because of my modesty book for Meridian Magazine.
Right. So, there you go. That's maybe what I was thinking of. So
I'm writing an article for them, and I'm hoping they'll get accepted. We'll see.
I hope so, too. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you tonight and the last 2 days. It's great to getting to know you, Michelle.
Same with you. I have loved getting to know you, and thank you for all you do for the authors. You guys are awesome.
Well, you're welcome, because it's a pleasure for us.
So,
we are talking to James Dashner, winner of the Whitney Award.
Youth fiction.
I keep on calling it speculative fiction.
No, that's
not it. Okay, anyway, sorry. I'm way off. How are you?
I'm great. I'm very, very excited that I won.
Which you should be. It was a great book.
Thank you. I can honestly and sincerely and definitely say I did not expect to win. So
really?
We're having a hard time believing that.
No.
Really?
No.
I'm just kidding. I can't believe you.
I swear on my life I did not. I thought, you know, because Brandon Mole, for one, is...
Mm-hmm. He wasn't even here tonight.
Hugely popular. And, you know, Brandon Sanderson, all those guys.
Nice presentation, by the way.
That was great. Who's idea? Was that Jeff's idea to come out?
Yes. Jeff... Jeff knew I wouldn't do it, so he...
Our joke would have been better if you'd done the spinal board again.
We really wanted to see a spinal board. Kind of fell flat.
At least we mentioned the spinal board.
Yes, we appreciate that.
I apologize for it, so at least we did that much.
Yeah, we were a little bit nervous about, you know, doing the joke and whether Jeff would hate us or be mad at us, but we know. He likes jokes.
No, we like to be made fun of and ridiculed, so it's all good.
And you take it very well.
Because we do it to lots of other people.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, poor Brandon took a nice dig tonight.
Oh, that was great. What is behind what Brandon's name is?
I kept trying to think of, you know, when I was coming up with him, I thought, with him, I'm just going to be completely juvenile.
Well, it was that.
It just seemed to fit him. So.
Oh, James.
Yeah, it was fun, though. It was fun. Really thrilled. And honored.
You should be, because it's deserved. I mean, we love your books. And he's already promised, and I have it on tape, that when Maze Runner comes out, that he's going to come talk to us again.
Yes. So I'm going to have to read a youth fiction again.
Oh, you'll
It's not the same. There are differences between middle grade and young adult. I was in the panel today.
Maze Runner is for a much older audience, so you'll like it.
Sounds good to me. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes.
You're welcome. Thank
All right.
You.
Hopefully. Okay. Anyway, Marcia. Met your niece, I was just telling you, who was up here for the Writers' Conference, but you are lucky and you got the privilege to be able to present the Lifetime Achievement Award to Carrie Blair. How was that?
Oh, that was so awesome. I was just blown away when Rob asked me to do that. I thought, me? But it's appropriate. Carrie and I have been friends for a long time, and she's been a mentor to me, and she says I'm her mentor. So, you know, mutual admiration society.
Hey, well, that's nice to be able to do that to one of your colleagues then. And Carrie is such a humble person. You know, she her acceptance speech was very humble, and then, you know, of course, honest at the end when she said she wanted to display it on a rotating dais. Did she know you were going to present to her today?
I think she did. It was in the program, but I don't know if she knew before today. I really don't know. But
how long did it take you to prepare your the words you were going to say in introduction?
A couple of hours. I had some. I had actually prepared a tribute to her because Annette Lyon had asked me to do so. She Googled or emailed us, several of us, and asked us to send something because she had to prepare this thing. And so I sent one in, and I guess somebody liked it because they asked me to do it.
Well, that was really a sweet. Those are sweet words that you said. So,
yeah, it took me a couple hours to put it together, but I had a lot of help. She's super, and I raided her website. I'm sorry, it's late and I can't think.
It is late. But you did a great job, and it was, you know, probably a very memorable thing for Carrie, and I'm sure I remember it always.
Well, if I made her cry, that was the intent. Other people came up and said I made them cry. So, hey, this old ham.
It all works then.
It must have done the trick.
Well, it was. I think that from what you were saying earlier, you had a great time at the conference. This was a really big, fun, exciting weekend, Friday and Saturday, and then ending with the gala. And you said you're going to be here next year?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm an executive director of the, what am I? I'm a vice president. Like I said, it's late and I'm tired and my mind is blown, but that's what conferences do to you, and you go home and you cogitate and you think about what you learned and you say, wow, I come away with so much stuff to really put to good use.
Well, I want to come next year too, so maybe we'll see you around.
Well, I certainly hope you can come and spend the whole 2 days and learn and learn and learn.
Well, thank you. Maybe we'll catch you on the podcast next time too.
Okay.
Thanks for talking to us.
My pleasure.